Hi, everybody, and welcome one more time to El Camino People, the podcast. As always, sharing with you the beautiful stories of the Camino Santiago and the people that walk the Camino Santiago. Today, we have an amazing story. You know, in Spain, we say that the third, well, we say in English, it's the same, the third is a charm, but sometimes the third, it may not be a charm. And today, we have my dear friend, Matthew. Welcome, Matthew. How are you doing?
Hi, so good to see you, my friend.
I know, it's so cool. I'm like, we met together, what, we've seen each other two times already in Pamplona?
Yeah, we I think you said the second time I was with my wife, you said I was one of the few people you had met right before and right after my Camino, so.
And here we are again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is good stuff.
So nice to have you. Matthew has been always, it's already walking a couple of Caminos, we'll go further into that, but a beautiful story is always one of those Camino enthusiasts right now. But before we go into business, you know, we have the 1 minute questionnaire. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's go. Your first Camino.
2018 from Sarria to Santiago.
How many Caminos?
Three. If you count the short ones, then three.
One city.
Ah, Puerto Marin.
A meal.
Sopa Castellano, the garlic soup. I think that's how it's pronounced. Memory. That's a good one. The story of Daryl, the guy that was a dead ringer for my father, meeting him.
Song?
There's a beautiful song I heard on the radio in one of the grocery stores. I recorded it. It's by an artist named Tom Shu, I believe. Contigo puedo ser quien soy. Yeah.
One sad moment.
A sad moment. Oh, you're going to get me choked up just thinking about it. steps of Puerto Marin, long story, but.
Always the final question, tortilla with or without onions?
I don't like onions, but in this case, with.
Okay, thank God, you're safe. Do you like onions?
Not a big onion fan, but in the tortilla, it's better.
So. It's better. Okay, you're safe. I'm like, that's the check. I'm like, we finished the interview. We go through any other stuff. Anyway, Matthew, one of the things that surprised me the most, you know, and I always start with the same, is like, for me, living in Pamplona, the Camino's always been in my front door. It's always something, you know, we learn in school. It's always you learn in church, or you always see pilgrims coming by and for. But in your case, how and when did you find out about the Camino de Santiago?
My father died in 2012, and it was a long and miserable death. He was very sick, just suddenly. I started to believe there was no God because of it, because he was such a faithful, good man, good Christian man, and truly what a Christian should be. He did so much for so many people. He didn't boast of his good works. He just was very quiet, very faithful, and suddenly he went through about 3 months of just absolute hell to die. And, you know, I said, okay, God, this is a good servant. And if you're real, why are you putting him through hell? And I kind of figured it out. Right after we buried him, my wife and I were back at our house and we were looking for a movie to distract us on Netflix. And we had recently seen a movie called Bobby, about Bobby Kennedy, one of her favorite historical figures, written and directed by Emilio Estevez. And I thought that was kind of cool that the guy that was in Repo Man when I was in college and in Breakfast Club was making movies. And Bobby is a very good movie. Have you seen it? Have you seen it, Jose?
I love Emilio Estevez. Anything that he does, I think that has a really good eye.
The beautiful theme of Bobby that I liked was that you have these people that are very troubled, damaged, wounded, unprincipled souls. And then as Bobby gets closer and closer to the hotel, it's like each one finds nobility and has a moment where he or she has a choice to be very noble or be very ignoble. And they always choose nobility. It's sort of like his goodness. And I think that was what Emilio was trying to say. So we're skimming through and I see this movie. It says a film by Emilio Estevez, no idea what it's about. The Way, which is how everybody in America seems gets introduced. And it's... thematically, it's very similar. There are these four characters who are going through very ignoble situations who find pockets of nobility. And There's a line Jack says when he's in the Parador in León, writing, and he's recording the notes for his book. And he describes Yost, excuse me, he says, Yost, for whom kindness is an instinct. And that was my father. Kindness was certainly an instinct for him. What I've learned in life is he wasn't born that way. He had to develop that instinct for kindness. But I said to my wife, I've got to honor Dad somehow. I'm going to walk the Camino. She says, well, you don't like to hike. You don't like the outdoors. I said, well, I'm going to train. And I started training, and I'd give up, and I'd train, and I'd give up. Excuse me, I'm a little hoarse this morning. Okay. Then one day I was in Nice, of all places, and there over in there's a little village at near Nice, France, on the Riviera called Ez, and there's a trail that goes up to it that Friedrich Nietzsche used to walk, and I studied Nietzsche in college, and I said, maybe I'll go just walk this trail, and people said, well, it's really steep, it's kind of treacherous, and I thought, well, maybe I won't. Then something kept telling me, just walk this little trail. So I walked the trail. It's challenging. It's only 2 kilometers, but it's challenging. About halfway up, I thought, well, I can go back or I can go forward. What are you going to do? And I heard my dad's voice say, if you go forward, you don't have any more excuses. So I went forward. I got to Ez, and I was just so happy. I said, I'm going to walk the Camino. Now I'm going to walk the Camino. This was 2016. It took me 2 years to get. And then even then, I was afraid of the Camino. I thought, well, what if I get out there? I don't like it. I don't like to be a quitter. I'll just walk from Sarria to Santiago. And that was kind of miserable. In fact, when I got into Santiago on one of my videos from the 2018, I'm very bitter as I'm crossing that bridge into the city. And I said, okay, well, I didn't hear Tyler Bates music. I didn't hear James Taylor. You know, I didn't hear any of that music on the Camino. And I didn't even go to the cathedral. I went right to a hotel and slept and didn't go to the cathedral till the next day. So it wasn't special. But when I went to the cathedral, I was sitting in the, how do you pronounce it? Obradoiro? Is that how you pronounce it?
Obradoiro? Right? Yeah, the plaza.
Yeah, in front of the cathedral. I thought, well, I better go here. And I guess traditionally you sit and contemplate your journey. And I walked there. I actually came from the wrong way because I was at a hotel. And I sat and I saw all these people coming in and seeing people they knew and hugging and their dog. And when their dogs came up and jumped on me and licked my face. And they all had an experience that I craved. And earlier on, one of my earlier videos said, I'm not going to do this again. You know, 113 kilometers is enough. But then I saw that experience. I went to the church and watched the Pilgrim's Mass. And I said, I'm coming back.
So that's amazing, you know, because I love your story, because sometimes people, they think that all the Camino stories, you know, they end with the enlightenment when you arrive to the Obradoiro, you know, you have that light that is like, oh yes, now I know my meaning, you know, what I'm supposed to do in life. Oh, this is going to be forever. I'm like, no, sometimes people are like you. I'm like, yeah, beautiful plaza, amazing cathedral. That's it. What's next? I'm like, few people I met that have been, you know, hating the Camino, that everybody gets hit by the Camino in a different way, a different day. Some people is when they arrive home. Some, you know, for me it was when I arrived into Muxia. For you was the next day when you arrived to the plaza. I'm like, wow. And as I was mentioning to you, you know, I think we should change the name to walking the last 100K as walking the first 100K, because that's usually what motivates so many people like you to keep on going, because they see, you know, the faces of the people and the experience. And that's the beauty of the Camino. I think, you know, that in so many ways hits people so different. But sometimes it's expectations that I think that's one of the biggest issues right now. Too many people talking beauty of the Camino, but sometimes the Camino can be hard. We will know. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So you go to Santiago, you're in your hotel, you go to the cathedral, and then you're like, I'm going to do this.
Yep. And it took a couple years. I mentioned Puerto Marin. This story seems silly because I do get teary-eyed every time I tell it.
Of course. It's a big story for you. I know that one because we're ready to talk, but it's a beautiful story.
About the cat?
And that's the beauty of the Camino. Sometimes there's little things that remind you of so many different things. So please share the story because it's a beautiful one.
Well, this is one of them. In 2018, just before we left, my cat died. Not the one that you saw earlier on the camera, but a different one, of course. And he was just amazing. Just one of the most amazing living beings, not just cats, not just his energy. And so I wanted to honor him, and I'm a writer, so I wrote a story where he comes back as a person and wants to say goodbye. So he realizes I'm going to walk the Camino, and he says, I'm going to meet him on the Camino to say goodbye. I had no idea what the Camino was like, anything, so I just looked at the map from Sarria to Santiago. And I go, Puerto Marin, that seems like a good place. Just picked Puerto Marin. Then I looked at pictures. I go, oh, look at these beautiful steps leading up to the city. I'll write a scene where my cat in human form meets me. And I wrote it, and it was very emotional. So when I arrived at Puerto Marin, it was almost like I expected him to be there. But on the Sarria version, from Sarria to Puerto Marin was miserable for me. I was not prepared. I didn't have enough stuff. I was not wearing the right shoes. And when I got to my albergue, I met a guy who said, you're in trouble, man. And he said, here, I got some stuff. He gave me things. And then it turned out he lives in my state. So we've been friends ever since. But he told me, and he says, if you ever go back, you need to be more prepared. So when I went back in 2021, I started really studying the Camino, really walking and hiking, went up to the mountains of Georgia with a friend, a backpack just to get in shape. And I started following you on Instagram and watching your podcast and looking at your pictures. And I showed a picture of you to my wife. I said, look at this guy's smile. Doesn't he have just a great smile? Isn't he somebody you'd just love to hike the Camino with? So it was really cool to meet you. It was almost like meeting a celebrity. Ooh. But
but that's what I love about this. You know, it's funny because yesterday I was interviewing for the podcast that will be in Spanish. This is it's a dad from Argentina. I interviewed him on the first season of the podcast 3 years ago, and they were raising funds to be able to do the Camino in a tandem in a bike because his son has autism. So you know, I've been working with him, you know, helping. He got the money finally, but COVID hit, and they have to wait for a whole year. And finally, this year they came to Pamplona and they did the Camino. But I wasn't here. I was, you know, or on vacation or with my family, or I was in Italy. Something that it's happened this year. But then suddenly we finished the interview, and he sent me this video of when he was entering Santiago. This guy came out from the bar, like running, and he's like, I know you. You are the father that's doing the Camino with your kid with autism. I listened to the interview in the podcast 3 years ago. My son is 7 years old, and I want to do the Camino thanks to you, thanks to the podcast. I'm like, this is what I'm here for. I'm like, this is, as we were talking prior, yeah, the Camino put things, and there's people that listen to this podcast. So I'm like, there's nothing better than this feeling. It's horrible because it, you know, it's at the end, it's just, you know, for your own, but at the end it's amazing because people are there. And I think, you know, there's so much power in stories. There's a great power in people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love to continue this. And I love to share your stories and to meet the people when they go here, because it's finally putting faces is totally, and when you talk with someone that is a Camino lover, it's just incredible. And, you know, Matthew already came to Pamplona twice, but if you're going back through Pamplona, I always say it, give me a call. If I can, I will go with you. If I can't, I will say, I'm sorry, I'm busy or whatever, but, you know, there's a better way of traveling. So then you finish your Camino. You go back home. It already is changing. So you're packing. How did you plan this time? Because this time you weren't going for a short Camino. You were going for the long one.
Yeah, I was originally going to do one starting from Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. I kind of wish I had. My friend that I had met in Puerto Marin advised me. He said, maybe you should start in Pamplona. I met a lot of people in Pamplona your age who got hurt coming over the mountains. So I got a little scared. I started in Pamplona. Now I have to go back and do Saint-Jean because I met a lot of people my age and older who started in Saint-Jean. They were fine. I have to. My Camino feels incomplete until I do Saint-Jean and go all the way to Finisterre. I haven't done those things yet. But I started in Pamplona. I met you. You know, we had a nice afternoon. And then it was Saturday. I was going to go in the 2020, and that, of course, COVID kicked that one down the road. But Saturday morning, I remember this. This was the first miracle. I set out from Pamplona, walked through the town, and I got out. I think it's Cesar. How's it pronounced?
Cesar Mayor.
Yeah. Cesar Mayor. And immediately I said, what the hell are you doing? 700 kilometers? You're going to walk 700 kilometers? Are you insane? And I thought, And I, the more I started talking myself out of it, I said, you know, you can walk back to Pamplona, take the train back to Madrid, take a flight down to the Riviera. You have friends on the French Riviera because I have friends in Nice. You can just hang out for 5 weeks, do that.
So much.
And I was talking myself out of it. And I sat down against that fence and a jogger comes by and then turns around and it's you.
Stupid joggers. I'm like, what's this guy? I'm like, hey, buen camino.
I said, okay, that's a sign that I'm supposed to keep going. And on one of my videos, I say, Jose was my first angel, and I hope I can be an angel. So, you know, that was my first day. Was rough, you know, going up over Alto de Pedron.
Pardon?
And I did go to Eunate, as you suggested. Nobody else was there. Everybody else was anxious to get to Puente de Reina. Is it Puente de or del?
Puente la Reina.
Puente la Reina. Everybody was anxious to get to Puente la Reina, so I went, and I'm glad I did a Eunate by myself. It was special. And I was exhausted in Puente la Reina, and I thought, okay, well, but I'm going to go on. And the next day, I hit exhaustion again. And when I get exhausted and have to encourage myself, I start singing. And I didn't know what to sing, so I started singing Golden Years by David Bowie, hiking through the woods. And I got to, it was just outside of Estella. Are you gay? Are you gay?
Ayegi.
Ayegi. My Spanish. Mi español no es bueno.
All of these little towns are horrible even for us. You know, from the area, I'm like, can be pronounced anyway. At least you have a good memory because you remember well.
So I stayed the night in Ayegi, and Ayegi, however you pronounce it.
And in
the, and I'm showering and singing in the shower as I do. I was exhausted again. And as I get up to go the next morning, this Frenchman sees me. He says, I heard you singing in the shower. You were singing David Bowie. He said, yes. And he said, I met a young woman yesterday who is ready to quit. She was on the side of the road ready to quit. Then this man came walking by singing Golden Years by David Bowie, and she saw that as a sign to keep going. I thought, oh, wow. So it must have been me, unless there's another one out there who sings David Bowie when he's stressed. So, you know, got to be a little angel that way, but I had more angels for me than against me. And probably the most angel.
The only thing, you know, with that one, I'm going to stop you there. I'm like, the only thing is, like, the angels that you act on, sometimes you don't even know that you act on them. And I think that's the beauty of the Camino, that, you know, and as I said, you know, if I haven't, you know, do the interview again with this dad, I'm like, I never will learn that there's a guy in Galicia with a kid with autism that is going to do the Camino thanks to the interview.
Yeah.
If I haven't talked to you again later, I wouldn't even never know that thanks to my running next day, you were going on all the way to Santiago. But that's the thing, that's the beauty of the Camino, you know. You are there for others, others are there for you, and at the end, and I don't know, it's just so strange.
Well, the most interesting angel on our Camino, when I was in Logroño, I could hear, the albergue I stayed in Logroño had a big high ceiling and these walls, and they didn't go all the way up to the ceiling. I don't know if you might be familiar with it. So if you're talking on one side, the acoustics, you can hear, everybody can hear every word you say.
Everything, huh?
And I could hear this guy, he was Irish, he had an Irish accent, and he was talking to a young woman, and I could hear everything he said, and he said, I have to take medication for my feet, but I need to eat something first, and I just don't feel like getting out of bed. And I just hollered, I got protein bars if you need them. And he said, no, that's okay. And he heard everything. Well, down the road, I was telling some friends I had met about this place. And he said, this Irishman, do you hear his name? And I think his name was Ronan. He said, yeah, he's kind of struggling. His shoes aren't doing him well. He's struggling. And he kind of came on the Camino on a whim. And maybe wasn't fully prepared. So then I ended up meeting this guy, Ronan. And every time I met him, there were always pilgrims around him helping him with popping the blisters on his feet, bandaging his feet. And he was struggling. By the time I got to Burgos, I was coming into Burgos and I saw some friends at a cafe and I sat down and we had a drink. And he was there and he says, you know, this is it. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I can't go on. I'm leaving. I said, well, you know, you gave it a good run, man. I'm props to you for sticking it out. 3 hours later, I was in the city, and somebody said, a whole bunch of pilgrims are at this little place across from the municipal. Come over and join us. So I went over and joined him, and he was there. And I said, so when are you heading back? He says, no, I'm going to finish now. They talked me into it. One guy had to get new shoes, and he gave his old boots, these expensive hiking boots, to Ronan. People were giving him things, encouraging him. They said, why don't you spend a week, rest in Burgos, and then take a bus to León, and we'll meet you there, his friends. And he was in bad shape. And, you know, in my world of America, sometimes if a person comes in that bad a shape, who's maybe not as prepared, people say, oh, go home, come back when you're ready. Get out. But here people said, okay, maybe he's not 100% ready. We're going to help him get there. And by the time I thought, I hope I see him in Santiago. And the day I arrived in Santiago, I was walking back to my hotel, and there he was at a bar sitting, drinking a beer. And it was just, you know, just the fact that he became our angel, because everybody was bonded by their helping of him. We're all going to help him. And it bonded us. Oh, we all had a story about this guy. And he was so cheerful and friendly and pleasant. And, you know, everybody had a story. He bonded everybody I met. Everybody had known him, knew him.
And that's amazing that sometimes, you know, your Camino became some other people's Camino. In this case, a lot of people would think, you know, maybe that pass was cheating, but maybe whatever. And like, maybe that was what he needed, and also what all the family around him needed. So
yeah, they needed him.
Yeah. And he needed all of you guys. So like, that's the beauty. No. So your Camino, once you start going, it became easier, or it was still, you know, some day stuff?
Well, I had an experience. My wife says maybe I created this experience with my own imagination, but everybody I talked to said your first week is your physical challenge. Your second is your mental challenge. And your third is your spiritual. And the first week was a physical challenge. I realized I'd brought too much. I had to mail some stuff on ahead to Santiago. Had to do things with my boots, everything. Finally, by the time I got to the end of that week, I started where my body, I think I said to my friends, I said, my body's like a dog. You know, you just say like my brother's dogs like to go to the lake. All you say is the word lake and they jump. My body every morning finally said, okay, we're going to get up every morning and walk for five or more hours. We're good. We can't wait. Then my mind started doing crap. So my body was on autopilot. It just kept moving forward. And a lot of it, I think I mentioned, in America, we got a lot of anger and divisiveness. And a lot of people talking about privilege and, oh, privilege. And, you know, you don't realize how many people are suffering. You're privileged. So I got out there and I thought, you know, really, walking the Camino is a privilege. And I'm privileged that I can afford it and I have the time. And there are a lot of people that aren't. And I started feeling guilty and beating myself up. Said, I did nothing to deserve this. Just because I have a little more money that I can do it and I have the time. I did nothing. And I started really attacking myself. Started talking to myself negatively and saying, you idiot, what do you think you are? You think you're so special. You're out here pretending to be a homeless person. You know, you think you're getting spiritual. You're just a privileged white guy exploiting another kind. All these mean things I said. And I was saying this aloud. And I walked through one village and there was an old gentleman, Spanish, and he had a mustache and glasses like my father. My father is why I walked. And he was watching me as I'm talking. And I realized he was watching me. And I stopped and I nodded, said, you know, buenas or something like that. And he said, mijo, son. That's all he said, mijo. And he walked away. And I have no idea why he said that. But it was like dad was showing up saying, hey, cool your jets. You know, so I went through that week of just beating myself up. And of course, I entered La Meseta. I got out there. I say on a lot of my videos, I say, pardon the language, but I say, ah, fuck the Camino. You know, I'm done. And then I said, the only reason I'm going to finish this is so I can tell everybody I did it. It was all ego. It took about a week to work through that. And I don't even know what happened in the spiritual week. It was just sort of like in a daze, just 1 foot. I think maybe I was in a Zen place. I don't know. But literally 3 weeks on schedule. They say it takes you about 3 weeks to really get your rhythm. That was my best day. I had bumped into a bunch of friends that I had met along the way, and we all walked together, and we found a guy out there outside of Astorga. To the east, he has a little house out there with all the fruits and puts them all out there for people. It's all donativo. We just had a great day. And, you know, and I realized this was the moment I wanted, but it was even more special because I spent 3 weeks earning that day, if that makes sense. You know? And then, but of course, that was...
You know, the end.
Yeah,
that's a bit, you know, I think the Camino is like any relationship, you know, it has the ups and downs. And if you go through the Camino through ups and downs, mm-hmm. it's because you are not being truthful to yourself. The Camino has
right.
days that you're going to feel horrible. And if you do a whole distance Camino, you know, there's going to be days that you have to fight to your memories, your thoughts, your whole thing. And if you don't go through that, I'm like, that's the whole point of the Camino, no? I think. And that's why the Camino Francés is such a great place, because you have, you know, the environment, the people, you know, the logistics to be able to go through all of that without having to think about, you know, hotels, food or whatever. It gives you the place to be truly mm-hmm. free. And, you know, if you have a day that you have to break, and a lot of people, as you say, you know, they have that moment sooner or later, it depends on you, mm-hmm. but it's going to happen. No matter what, yeah. if you go to the Camino Francés for the right reasons, that's going to happen for sure. So, but as you keep going, you start, you know, working on that one. And one mm-hmm. of the things that a lot of people, you know, so I think also, you know, once you start getting to Galicia and you start seeing Santiago, how was the feeling? And like, you've already been there. So for yeah. you, those last 100K was your second time. How was the feeling on being back in those 100K as the ones that you left last time? And you say, you know, I want to be like those, that the pilgrims that are coming from the long distance. So finally you were there. How was the feeling?
Yeah. It's hard to explain. You know, you get to Sarria. When I got to Sarria the first time, I took the train in, and the train is not on the Camino, but it has arrows pointing you to it. And you have to kind of go down a street and down a street and down a little road, and then there's that little bridge that leaves Sarria. And I'd always thought when I walked off the train that I was on the Camino. So this time, I get into Sarria, stay down there on the east side of town, meet friends, and it was special. But the first day, getting there was just amazing. I'm just looking around and like, I've been here before. I don't know this part of the city because I never saw it, but this is big. I'm going to be here now. And I explored the city. The next morning, you have to walk up to the monastery and then down through the dark. I was leaving dark and I'm like, where the hell am I? And then I come around and, oh, there's the bridge, you know? And it was like seeing an old friend. And I was very, very moved. I went all the way to Puerto Marin that day. And of course, I'm working on a short film for our film festival next year about the experience. But one of the questions I ask is, you know, are our sacred places in the world truly sacred because God said that's a sacred place? Or did he inspire us to make it sacred? Or do we just make it sacred ourselves? Because Puerto Marin is sacred to me because I wrote a story mm-hmm. that made it sacred. And I stayed the night in Puerto Marin again this time. And all night, my cat came to me in my dreams. So it's like, why? Did I create that with my own imagination? You know, is there some sort of spiritual energy that I brought there? I don't know, but it was magical. And then every step of the way was magical. I mentioned, I think I've told you the story way back after we got out of León, when I had seen a guy that looked just like my father. He walked like him. He looked like him. He counted his change methodically in his hand to pay like my dad did. He fumbled with the snaps on his pack. It was just like looking at dad, and it overwhelmed me. Well, when I got to Palos de Rey, I ended up sharing an albergue with him, and he and I have become very good friends. And I even told him, I said, I know you're not my dad, but I think dad sent you. You know, I have the spiritual sense that my father is with me on this Camino, but I think he wanted me to have somebody with skin on him, you know? So, and Daryl, I think Daryl and I become such good friends. I think Daryl got something out of it's sort of weird because we spent the afternoon talking at the albergue, and then the next morning I thought, I'd like to walk with this guy, but I may have overwhelmed him with all this talk of my dad. I think I'll just slip out quietly And as I'm leaving, he stops me and he says, where are you going? I said, oh, I was going to take off. He said, well, you and I have been having a conversation. I don't think it's over yet. So we and I became
And that really was my question. Like, if someone, you know, approaches me, it's like, I think my dad put you in the Camino for me. I was like, what? So how he did react? Because, but one of the things that I think is beautiful of the Camino, that people are more open and people share everything. So things like this. So I'm like, that's amazing. You know, how even next day that you were trying to, I'm like, maybe that's too much. And he was the one that coming back to you. So,
And the irony is we did get separated, but not irony. The cool conclusion of the story is the day I was supposed to walk in, he texted, says, about what time you're going to be here. I'm here already. And he waited in front of the cathedral for me. And that was sort of like seeing dad waiting for me. So you see, I'm getting a little emotional.
But that's the beauty of this. I'm like, if you're not emotional and these things, you know, as we were saying before we started the podcast, I'm like, some things, you know, can be meaningless for people, but for others, you know, when you believe and when you believe in, you know, that there is something higher than us and that your dad is there, and there's these little things that add up to this story. And, you know, this guy didn't have to wait for you, didn't have to be so pleasant, didn't have to be waiting for you the next morning, but suddenly he was there waiting for you. So it is a message. It's not a message. It's like, who cares? It was there for, and that's, you know, I was going to add to your question, like, are these places sacred or not? Is Santiago really in Santiago? Does it matter at the end? Is your coming, yours only, and all these things are meaningful for you? And if they don't have any meaning to anyone else, I'm like, who cares?
One of my best friends I made on the Camino is an atheist. and he goes,
and I think hope. How atheists go to the Camino and go to Mass and they get something. And that's the beauty of the Camino that, you know, I've seen lately, we've seen Jewish people on the Camino. Like, you see Catholics, you see all kind of Christians. I even see, you know, like, people that is atheist, people that is against the church, but the Camino has something. And that's, you know, one of the things that I think no one that has walked along the Camino can discuss. There is some kind of connection with yourself, with others, with Earth, with Pachamama, whatever you want to call it. There is something strange and magical that happens in this Camino. How do you want to call it?
Yeah.
I don't care.
My atheist friend, he was walking like his third or fourth Camino, and he walked another one this last summer and sent me a text at a restaurant where we ate and said, they say there are ghosts on the Camino. You're supposed to be here right now. You know, that was nice. And it's sort of funny the way he and I met. I left a... It was just outside. What is it? I'll give it. I love this town. Villamayor de Mojardin.
Villamayor de Mojardin. Yeah.
Villamayor. I stayed there that night and said it was 12 kilometers to Los Arcos, no services. I had plenty of water. They had given us a little food for the morning. And as I left, I saw big 2-liter bottles of water. And I said, something, a voice said, buy one of those. I thought, well, I have plenty of water. Just buy one of those. So I bought one. And then I got to a pump and I thought I'd stop and take a video at the pump just to show people back home the pumps where you get water. And the pump was broken. And all of a sudden this guy comes up behind me and goes, oh man, the pump's broken. And it was Brent, my friend. And he said, I was just counting on getting water here because he'd done this before. He knew there was this pump and it was broken, this well. And I happened to have extra water because something, a little voice said, buy this water. And next thing you know, he and I are friends, and he was an angel too on my Camino, a lot of ways, even though we disagreed politically on everything.
But that's the beauty, and you know, that's one of the things that I also think is, you know, there is so many Caminos in the world. There is the PCT, there is the Inca Trail, there is Caminos much more beautiful in terms, you know, of the scenery, of terms of hiking. If you're looking for a hike, you don't go to the Camino. If you're looking for scenery or for traveling, I mean, you can go anywhere else. But there is something in the Camino that is so strange that attracts so many people, and also so many people from so many different, you know, situations. And that's the beauty. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You can have a discussion with someone, you know, totally opposite from you in the Camino. But at the end, you are both pilgrims, and 99.9% of the time, you ended up having a beer or having a Trucola or having a coffee, and that's it. Next day, you walk again. But something didn't happen, because then you walk your third Camino and you finish your Camino and you say, I'm going back again to my Camino. What happened to your third Camino and why you decided to go in your third Camino?
Well, we'd had an interesting summer this last summer, and I was in a job that I needed to get out of. And so I got another job secured and I gave my notice, and I was going to have a 2-week 2 weeks off with nothing to do until the new job started. And my wife said, you need a reset. She had like a ticket voucher or something for a flight that had gotten canceled. She says, I'm going to buy you a ticket to Madrid. And if you want to walk the Camino, whatever, but I think just get you over to Spain. And I knew I only had like about a week to 10 days. So I said, I think I'll do that. I'll take a bus from the Madrid airport up to Astorga because I liked Astorga so much. And I'll just walk as far as my feet tell me to walk. And it was interesting. The first couple days were really good. And then just the first thing that went south wasn't a bad thing per se, except in 2021, I walked from Rabanal del Camino up to the cross and then all the way to Ponferrada. That was a long walk. Mm-hmm. And that's a steep walk coming down from the cross. And
it is tough, yeah.
And it was a long day, but I stopped constantly to take video, and because I, on my video, wanted to show how steep it was, how far we'd come. You can look back and see the trail going up and say, that's what we've walked so far. And by the time I got to Ponferrada, I was tired, but not blown out or exhausted. And it was because I was stopping so much to take video. Some people say you shouldn't take video, but that's what I did.
That's your thing.
This time, yeah. And this time I was coming down from the cross and I met a young Dutchman. He was 25 years old and we started talking. So I didn't take a lot of video. I just followed him down the mountain and he's 25, I'm 59. I just about killed myself trying to keep up with him. And my ego stepped in and said, don't tell him you're tired and old and need rest. Just stick with it. And I just about killed myself physically. So that was the first stupid thing I did. And the next day I just walked from Molina Seca to Ponferrada, 7 kilometers, and then took a bus to Via Franco del Mayor, del Bierzo, Via Franco del Bierzo. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, you broke your rule. You're taking a bus. I don't judge people who do that or take a bus, but I didn't want to have to do that. And I didn't do it mm-hmm. Last time. This time I broke the rule and did it. And I was mad at myself. And then I talked to somebody. Then our albergue, a family comes in with 5 kids. And they're noisy kids. And I know the Camino's for everybody. But, you know, I couldn't sleep. And I was sitting down in the lobby, not able to sleep. And I got on a Camino message board. And I asked people, how do you feel about kids on the Camino? And everybody was
I remember that day perfectly.
Angry.
Angry. I remember that post.
I deleted that post, you know, because they were all like, you know, Camino, you know, don't be so selfish. Stay in a private room. And I'm like, why should I pay for a private room every night? But I was being a little bit harsh, I admit. And then that next morning, as I'm waiting for the bus, I decided to take a bus to Osobrero. This old guy I'm talking with starts talking about people who take video on the Caminos and put them on YouTube. And he said, we're all narcissistic. And I'm like, you know, you're talking about one of those guys. So I'm starting to get mad at him and judging him and then judge myself. Well, maybe I shouldn't be taking videos. What, you know, maybe I am being narcissistic. I'll beat myself up again. And then I meet in Triacastella. I got in with a group of guys and we were sitting there talking. And I taught English. English was my major. I love mm-hmm. the English language. And I was talking with an Australian and a German and a guy from the UK. I think there might be a person from Spain. We were talking about the English language and how challenging it is. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about words that used to be innocent and are now kind of people find them offensive in different countries. And this one guy, first of all, he'd already judged. He was an American and he'd already asked, he said, where are you from? What part of America? I said, Florida. And he says, oh, your governor's an idiot, you know, got politics in it. I said, well, I kind of like our governor, not everything about him, but you know, some things I like about him, but immediately that kind of put a little wall up there, you know,
Right away. I'm like, I'm from here. This is, I'm like, why do you have to go out Florida? I like oranges. Who cares?
Then I mentioned this word. I said, there's a word I heard all the time growing up, and I won't say it because I don't want to offend. It's not really that offensive. It's a phrase. I heard it on TV, and now all of a sudden it's offensive. And they say, what is it? And I said it, and this guy said, you're being racist. Shut up. And
That's one thing, you know, for me now with language, language is so beautiful. With the Spanish, is the same. There's a lot of things that we say in Spain that we cannot say, you know, South America. I'm like, Language is a language. It has the meaning that you can give them and that you want to give them. So a lot of things, you know, can be racist. Here in Spain, we've been using wars all our life, but suddenly it's like, oh, that's so unpolitically correct. I'm like, it's just a war. It's the meaning that you can give me. It's up to you. So,
and it's not even a negative word. It's two words together that we use, and we've used thousands of times a day, but you put these two words together and suddenly it's racist, you know? And I'm like, all right, that's strange. And he could have said, well, people are offended. He could have been nice and said, well, people don't like that phrase today because this is what it means to them. But he said, you're being racist. And so I said, all right, fine. And I got up and left and I was pretty angry. And then I was walking on to Samos. I decided to go to Samos from Tria Castella. I'd never seen it. And the app had done some sort of math error, said it was only 3 kilometers. And I was very tired. And then I get out and I realize it's 9 kilometers. So I tried to call a cab and I said, can you pick me up, take me to Samos? And he kept saying, no es posible, no es posible. You know, I don't know why, but he said, no. And I got so angry. Like, can't even pick me up and drive me a few kilometers, probably, I don't know why, siesta. And I got out there and it was hot and I'm sweating and I'm getting dizzy. And part of it was the anger was making me dizzy. And I just was having a bad day. And, you know, then I get to then I get to Samos and I walk up and there was a guy I met the first day from Australia named Eduardo. And he said, you look horrible. Why don't you take a nap and we'll go have dinner? And then he said, tell me about your day. And I told him the whole day and he got it. He was cool. And we walked for a little while. And then he and I, now I have a friend in Australia. And so I met a little angel there and got into Saria, ended up the guy that had called me the racist was staying in my albergue.
Of course, you know, I'm like, the one up there is a pretty funny guy. He likes to play.
And so I thought, well, I thought, you know, now's the time to just ask this guy, what the hell did you mean by that? Why did you do that? And then I thought, no, that's going to start a fight. And he's got his family with him. And, you know, I don't want them to go home at the end of the Camino, say, oh, remember that asshole from America that came up and started talking crap
from America, from Florida, from the weird Florida place.
Where, you know, we're supposedly all sorts of terrible things, of course, to the news, but, you know, we're not. It's just Florida. We're just people down here. You know, and it makes it, so I thought I'm just going to avoid them. And I went and washed my laundry and hid and stayed out of their way. And when I got to Puerto Marin the next day, just a voice said, it's time. Just, you know, check it in. So I took a bus to Santiago and then to Madrid and hung out in Madrid for a couple of days. But I could not walk away from that saying that was a bad, excuse me, that was not a bad Camino. I mean, miserable things happened and it wasn't as beautiful as the last one was, but I grew from it, if that makes sense. I grew. And
that's the thing, probably, you know, it was painful and hurtful, and also coming from, you know, 2 Caminos, amazing experience, different one. You go into your third meeting and like your wife give you the ticket and then suddenly all of these things go. And in the moment, there is no way you can see the light. I'm like, you know, I will be frustrated. I'm like, I'm quitting and going, whatever. This is not going as planned. I came here to looking for enlightenment and relax. And suddenly here's this guy that has made my life miserable for, you know, whatever time I have. But now when you look back, I'm like, how does it feel, you know, with all of your different Camino experience and you go and you're next? Because for many people, this will be, I'm like, this is my last one. I'm done. I'm like, you know, the experience is not like it was on this magic Camino.
Well, and it will never be that way again. And I'm an analytical person, but I'm also, I'm both romantic and I'm analytic. I operate on emotion, but then I back up and try to analyze what made me feel that way. I watch a movie that affects me, and then I like to watch it again with a critical eye. Why did I feel this emotion? So I've been looking at the whole experience. And one of the things I learned from the second, from the Good Camino, the long one, there's a Canadian psychologist over here, Jordan Peterson, and he was talking about dopamine. the chemical that you get when mm-hmm. you, he says, when you achieve a certain goal, that dopamine spike happens. And he said, the trouble is so many people can create a false dopamine spike with alcohol, drugs, food, sex, pornography, all these things that you can abuse. But it's not a true dopamine spike. And then when the spike goes down, the only behavior that dopamine rewarded was the drug-seeking behavior, the pornography-seeking behavior, all that. And so you start do more of this, and it's not helpful or productive. But I look at my photograph when I arrived in the Obradoro in 2021. And when I was coming, you've seen my video. I planned it because I had my iPod with a camera and then I had my phone with a camera. So I put them together so I could film my reaction at the same time I was walking in. And then I just forgot what I was doing. And my reaction's this pure mixture of laughter and tears. And it's making these weird squealing sounds. And then I saw Daryl and he said, I'm taking you to lunch. And I said, oh, I haven't taken my picture in front of the cathedral. And I just took a quick selfie. And it's interesting because I go on Instagram and people pose their selfies. In fact, I see people posing their selfie. You know, they jump in the air and get someone to take them a picture while they're in the air. Or I saw a person posing like they're walking towards the cathedral. And I was planning how to pose my selfie. But in that moment, it was just Daryl said, I'm taking you to lunch. I said, great, I'm hungry. Oh, let me get my picture. I took two quick selfies and you don't see much of the cathedral, but I have so much joy on my face. And I don't think I've seen a photo of me with that much joy. And I know it's because I worked so hard and that was a dopamine spike I worked so hard to get there. And that's the kind of joy I want in life, and it sucks that you have to work and suffer for that kind of joy. I can't just take a drink or, you know.
But that's the video, you know, a lot of people, you know, one of the biggest fights also sometimes in the Camino is the when people go to the Camino with a sport challenge, you know, people that do the Camino or running or biking or they want to do like 500, and a lot of people are like, that's not doing the Camino. I'm like, for some of these people, that's the way to go deeper or to have, you know, to go to a higher state of, I've been doing the Camino with with a couple of long distance runners that they want to do the world record, but it's not because of the world record. It's just the state of mind that gets them, you know, I'm a runner, but yesterday or 2 days ago, I have a race, a half marathon, and it was horrible because I usually finish really high because I'm not, you know, I don't push myself. So I always ended up pretty relaxed and I can, you know, spin at the end and go, you know, and I ended up, this last race, I wasn't happy. You know, I finished, it was pumped. I was with pain. And like you and your Camino, I went home and I'm like, I did a good time because it wasn't bad. But it wasn't about the time. It was just that I didn't finish as happy as I usually finish, you know, with a smile. I was tired. I'm like, the whole mental state was different. And I went home and like you, now I'm thinking why all of this happened. And now I have a marathon in 3 weeks. So I'm like, who cares? You know, sometimes this is what makes you learn. Sometimes you go and there's not a reason, but maybe that's what I need to go through this time. But this happens. And, you know, at the end, and I took a picture and I always do the same picture of the marathon at the end on the beach. And I was smiling again. So, you know, that's the biggest thing that you can get from all of this, the smile and the feeling, all of these things make you feel is just incredible. And only the people like you and I that walked and walked again know the feeling. Now, when you look back, even, you know, for your suffering and everything, if, you know, when we're talking of the Camino, you can see it in your face, it lights up. So I'm like, that's the magic of the Camino.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not a saint. And I find when people talk about doing good works, when they do good works, it's in America, we use the term virtue signaling. I don't know if you've heard that term. And I was listening to an actor who's in recovery for alcoholism, like I am. I've been sober almost 29 years. Talks about when he does good works, he says, I'm afraid that I'm doing it for my ego. Like, look how good I am. But I find there's a Buddhist say, I think Shantideva wrote it, and it echoes Jesus, it echoes everybody. He says, if you seek your own happiness, you will always suffer. But if you seek the happiness of others, you will always be happy yourself. And I find on the Camino, when I could do things for the happiness of others, I would have a great day. And never and a better day if I don't announce it. I realize if I announce it or make a video about, look at this cool thing I did for somebody, then I'm making it about my ego. So if you can do a little thing, and the only reason I tell the story about having the water for Brent is because it's an example of a miracle, but it's not like, mm-hmm. look what a great guy I am sharing my water.
No, it's just it's something that happened and make me, I agree with you 100%. That's,
but if you can sit and help somebody, and then you see them, you know, and Ronan, the Irishman, I didn't do much to help him except talk to him now and then. It was other people did amazing things for him. But just to see that he finished was great, you know, and he has his shirt that says without pain, there is no Camino, you know, and all that. I don't know. I'm in this. When I came home in 2021, I felt lost. And my wife said, well, I have some yard work. We're building a Zen garden in the back. I'll have to send you pictures. I had to wear my Camino clothes to do yard work. It was just the clothes I wore in the Camino. Every time we went out there, I had to put on my shirt and my pants and my boots. You know, I didn't want to take those off.
I still keep all my Camino shoes.
Yeah.
They're all there. I keep all of them. And I will never throw them away. But I agree with you. I'm like the whole thing, you know, of this, the podcast and talking with people. So many people may think, you know, this is ego, this is a whatever. And sometimes I even myself feel, you know, this is, but at the end, you know, I'm like the whole thing. And, you know, you were saying there's a quote that I like a lot in Spanish, say, si no vives para servir, no sirves para vivir. If you don't live to serve, you don't deserve to live. I think that's the coolest thing. And when you do things for other, even if sometimes you feel, you know, that it's giving you back more, because always 90% of the time, or I would say 100% of the time, you receive more when you give because of the feeling, because of hope. But when you do it because of the good reasons, because you don't, you know, I wasn't looking to promote or to look to this guy in, you know, in Galicia that was going to do the Camino. I was doing it because I think it's a cool story and maybe someone will listen to it. And today with you, I'm like, maybe someone will listen to this story, and when they are called out because they're in Florida and they are in the Camino, and someone goes there and they were like, you know, I'm gonna walk like Matthew. I'm like, who cares? That's the beauty of all of this. And at the end, I think, you know, all adds up, and you can tell who's doing it for the right reasons. And sometimes we all do it for the wrong reasons, but you know, it's learning from that.
Well, you know, and I tell you. Just something interesting about the person that upset me on this last one. In 2021, I met another guy that kind of didn't really offend me, but I just didn't like him. He was very far. This guy that I met in 2022 was a little far left. The other guy was very far right and was very judgmental about the Bible says this, and you know, Donald says this about gay people. And, you know, one of my friends I'd met was gay. So I'm like, okay, that the Bible says this. And I'm like, okay, keep this guy away. But in Burgos, and I realized both of these set guys, when I talked to them, said something about the Camino that was very similar. And it made me realize this is probably why they're in that place. In Burgos, this guy that was very fundamentalist, I said, getting ready to walk the La Meseta tomorrow. I hear it's kind of mentally taxing. People get out there and their mind does crazy things. And he goes, it's just walking. It's just walking. And then the guy that I met that earlier before he offended me, he was talking and I said, so have you, I always like to know what sort of cool spiritual experiences people have. And he goes, oh, nothing really. I'm a seasoned hiker. I just like to hike. So I thought, all right, if you're just here to hike, and you're not here for some, as my best friend here says, he says, it's not a vacation and you don't need the exercise, so it must be something else. But if you're just here because, oh, just walking, that's like when my cat died saying, oh, it's just a cat. Well, maybe it's just a cat to you, but to me, it's something else. So I find maybe going in with this attitude, oh, I'm just a hiker. I like to hike. That's all I do, blah, blah, blah. You're not there to find out everything the Camino has to offer. I think that might be the difference between being aggressive and kind of judgmental versus being collaborative, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, you know, all those little things probably wasn't just, you know, things that started to add up, and then you realize, you know, maybe it wasn't my date, this thing, and finally it's up. But that's the thing, a lot of people, they said, you know, and it's been always one of my biggest fights. People think that they go for the Camino for a hike. And as you say, if you're for a hike, you go somewhere else. If you're in the Camino,
go to Appalachian Trail.
But if you're in the Camino, you're looking for something. I'm like, you may not know it yet, but you are here for something. And I have no doubt, you know, anyone that has walked a 30-day Camino, even a 15-day Camino, when they finish, they are like, you know, this was something. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it is maybe yet, but it wasn't just a hike. Because as you say, you know, if you want to go a hike, go to the Appalachians, go to, you know, the Grand Canyon, go to whatever. Like, there's beautiful, amazing places, much more beautiful than walking in Spain through little villages and just having café con leche. Sorry, but this is just, it's much more than that. Now, I one of the things that I'm asking a lot of people, you know, what's the difference between a pilgrimage and a hike? And I still don't know, I can put some words, but I cannot say, you know, what is the truly the difference between a hike. And I think all of this is not about the place, it's about the state of mind, why you go there or why you are going there, because... But it's different.
Well, I can tell you a theory, because like I say, I think about things a lot. I write about things a lot. I think maybe I'll write a book about this, but everybody writes a Camino book. I know so many people that are...
I have a couple here, but don't worry. We will make a space for yours.
But way back in 2009, you've seen the American film Field of Dreams.
I think so. I'm horrible with names. And also, you know what we do in Spain? We change the name to everything. So probably...
Kevin Costner, the farmer who plows over his cornfield and makes a baseball diamond. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And that film came out at a time when my father and I kind of worked through some stuff. So, you know, the whole thing when he gets... Dad was still alive. And in 2009, Dad was still alive. And I thought, I've always wanted to see this farm. They still have the baseball diamond on this farm. It's a tourist place. I want to go see it because it was a special movie to me and it marked a special time in my life. And I go to see it. And as I'm making I've always been making videos even before we had phones. I say, this is a pilgrimage. And why is it a pilgrimage? Because a pilgrimage is you have a spot at the end that is sacred to you in some reason. And Kevin Costner was in a movie called Fandango in 1985. And in that, it's five friends that when they started college, they buried a bottle of Dom Perignon in the desert. And now they're going their separate ways. They're going back to get it as a celebration of their friendship. And he keeps calling it a pilgrimage because this is sacred to them. They've made this sacred. And I will admit, I believe in God. I don't feel any specific reverence towards St. James, though. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, St. James is my favorite apostle. I'm going to do this to honor him. Yeah. But just knowing that there's this thing, and it was something special to a people. They took this old Roman trade route to Santiago and turned it into this sacred, holy... Why? You know? But people have marched it for centuries, and when you get to the Cruz de Ferro, you see that pile of rocks, and you realize every one of those rocks is a pilgrim who came before you. Mm-hmm. And I feel a connection to every pilgrim on the Camino that's like one of my favorite places on the Camino. And the young Dutchman that I met there says, I don't really believe in God, but I think that's a special place because these are his words. He says, people get a moment to be alone with their own bullshit. And I thought, okay, that's true.
I think that's the best definition I can find about the Camino Santiago, the moment when you get alone to get with your bullshit.
Yeah. So I think maybe this short Camino also didn't work for me because I wasn't walking all the way to Santiago. I knew I wouldn't be able to get to Santiago. Mm-hmm. And I really need an end and a purpose. And to just walk to walk just didn't feel right to me. So for me, I need a purpose.
It's your movie making. You need a beginning, the purpose, and the whole thing. If the things doesn't add up, it's like...
And my favorite film has no purpose, but my favorite film...
Which one is your favorite meal?
La Dolce Vita. And that's all about a person who has no purpose, and it's all these little episodes of him on a quest for something that he thinks will fulfill him. And at the very end, I don't know if you've seen it, but... You know, midway through, he tries to write his novel because he's a writer, and he meets this young girl, way too young. He's always chasing women. She's way too young for him, and he knows it. She's just a little girl, but he's kind of amazed by her innocence. And then he goes back to this sinful life of trying to find something to fill his hole. And at the end, he's on the beach, and he sees her, and she's waving at him and trying to remind him, yo, you remember me? And she's across an estuary, so he can't go to her. So she tries to remind him what he was doing by typing. And I realize he compared her to an angel. So she's an angel reminding him, this is who you are. You're a writer. You're a storyteller. And he doesn't recognize it. So he just shrugs and walks away. And I thought, my gosh, it's a depressing ending, but it's so powerful. Because I think, how many times have I ignored the angels in my life? And now I'm in a place where I'm noticing them. So I get something every time I watch it. I feel inspired to keep my eyes open when I watch that. So, because that's a story with no purpose. It's a beautiful story, but it's a sad story. And that's me telling stories.
Anyway, I would like to, you know, anyone to invite them to follow your channel of YouTube, the Sweet Karma Way, because you have a different eye, you know, and I think the way you make the videos, and also to follow you in your Camino, because, you know, one of the things that I like about the Camino, like, it's like life, you know, there's life through your eyes, life through my eyes, the Camino through your eyes. There's something different, and there's something that is appealing for so many different people. And there's, you know, those great YouTubers over there, but I think your storytelling is more about the story of the Camino, not just the beautiful places. It's more about following you and why the Camino. And you say, you know, you get mad, you start shouting, you're like, yourself, Camino, I'm done with you. And I think that's beautiful also, because that's the real truth of the Camino. And your videos is just you on the Caminos. And I like it. You know, if you follow me, I'm like, this is me and this is the podcast. And there's nothing really much prepared here other than the 1 minute, but just two pilgrim chatting and your Camino videos is just you. So go follow, you know, the Sweet Karma Way on YouTube and see if you like it. And if you don't, you know, that's the thing. It's okay too.
Well, I tell you, I wasn't going to put all that ugly stuff in the videos. But you know, I sent some stuff on ahead to Santiago, and when I went to pick it up, it's at Casa Ivar. Is it Ivar? How he pronounces it? Casa Ivar. And Mike, I cannot remember Mike's last name, but he writes the Wise Pilgrim guides.
Oh, Michael! Yeah, such a great guy.
Michael Miel. Ah, he has an interesting last name. He said he was watching Casa Ivar, and so he met me there, and you can see I have one of his maps behind me, but I also he's updated that. He gave me another one. I bought this map. I ordered this app online and several of his guides. So we started talking about the Camino, and I told him all this video, and I said I had some ugly times out there. I'm probably not going to put them in the videos. He goes, no, put all of it in the video, because people need to see everything. And I get home, and my, you know, I'm in sobriety. Go to a 12-step program. A guy in my program has been watching my videos, and he said,
"It's having issues sort of weird with your audio." So I don't know if you can listen to me. I have an issues with your audio.
Did I lose it?
It's just weird. It has a lot of noise. I don't know if you can hear me correct, but
for me, I can hear you. You're there.
So I don't know if your mic, if you can plug and unplug your mic, maybe again. Let's try, because I don't want to lose all of this.
Okay, let's see.
Let's try again. Maybe it's on my side. I don't know, but now I cannot hear you. All of this time thinking about talking and preparing, and suddenly in the last minute, while we would remember everyone to go and see the Sweet Karma Way on YouTube and follow Matthew, your beloved. And if you don't follow us, yes, you know, on Instagram, on Twitter, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at El Camino People. Now, perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. Where was
there
I?
There you go. You were talking about Michael from Wise Pilgrim, that I want to take this moment for everyone. If you don't know Michael from Wise Pilgrim, he's a great guy. He takes a lot of time and effort in doing his guides, and he's the one that made the beautiful map that you have behind your head. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go to wisepilgrim.com and you can check the books. They are printed books, but also they have an app. So amazing way if you need an app for your Camino.
Yeah. Anyway, he said to keep all the ugly stuff in. And then after I got some videos up, one of my friends in sobriety said, it's interesting because you have control over what you can edit. You can present yourself however you want on the Camino. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's really interesting you chose to do that. And I said, I don't know. I guess I'm old enough that I don't care. And then I thought, well, my wife's going to look at this and say, oh, you probably should have left that out. But she looks at it and laughs. She goes, oh, yeah, I've seen that guy around the house.
I'm glad that you did, because truly, I'm like, sometimes, you know, all these people that see the Camino, I'm like, oh, it's just, you know, roses and here and there. I'm like, no, sometimes the Camino is tough. The problem is, like, at the end, we all adapt, but, that, you know, and life is tough. Mm-hmm. Life is not just, you know, the Instagram, the beautiful stories, the beautiful pictures, the perfect lives. I'm like, no, I'm like, there should be more people, you know, promoting that sometimes you go through lows, because that's what helped you get to the high points. And if you don't go through that as a normal person, at the end, you're not going to have experience as a whole. And the beauty of the Camino is to go through all of that up and downs, because then when you look at the whole thing as a package, it's amazing. But because you go through all those spots. So thank you for putting all that stuff in your videos.
All right. Well, this has been fun. It's good to see you.
Anyway, great and final question. Always. Do you have a Camino in mind, or do you have anything waiting, or nothing yet for now?
I really, you and I talked about this at one point. I really want to do the, is it Kumano Kodo or Kumano Kado in
Kumano Kodo in Japan?
Isn't it the Camino de Santiago's sister Camino, I think?
Yes, it's the Brotherhood. They're the only two Caminos that are of UNESCO. And if you do the Kumano Kodo and you walk the Camino Santiago, you become a dual pilgrim, and they give you a beautiful, kind of like the Compostela, but with a kind of like a dragon or a bear over there. Pretty cool.
So I want to do that. I think I'm going to do Portuguese. Have you done Camino Inglés?
No. And I know a couple people, and that's a mixed feelings. You know, it's a short Camino, so a lot of people like it because of the shortness, because it's, you know, when you have a whole week. But some people say it's not as pretty and or nature, a lot of road, but some people love it. So for me, it's over there. So I want to walk a couple more Caminos, smaller ones that I have here on Pamplona, the Camino del Baztán, that is a short Camino that goes parallel to the Camino Frances, but kind of like starts from France, but more from the coast, and goes into Puente la Reina, into Pamplona. So maybe that one for a short one. And also, like you, I want to go to the Kumano Kodo. That's my biggest dream for next year.
Well, and my wife, you know, I'm going to be 60 in May. And my wife just says, we can plan this. When I walked from Sarria, I met a gentleman. He was 71 years old. He had retired at age 66, and he was coming. He'd come every year to walk the full Camino. He was Australian, and he was on his fifth Camino. He says, I love it. I bloody love it out here. You know, and I thought he was so cool. And I said, that's who I want to be. So my wife says, we just got to take care of ourselves. We got a plan. So when we retire here in a few years, you can go and do the Camino anytime you want. So,
such a great goal in life. I hope one day I can retire and walk the Camino every day. That is not a bad way of living retire.
Yeah. That's cool.
Anyway, Matthew, thank you so much. I hope that we see each other for sure. Maybe, you know, in Japan, maybe here in Pamplona, maybe in Santiago, who knows? But, you know, there will be more Caminos, and that's something that when you start walking, you know, and maybe not know what's the next one, but it will appear eventually.
Well, you met my wife. She, of course, she's going to be a little way. She's going to be in Malaga later this month, but this is a little far for you.
Yeah, right on the other side. But again, everything is, you know, comparing on distances, as you say, you know, here in Spain, going for a 20-minute ride is too far. In the States, going for a 20-minute ride, it's a long distance. In the Camino, going for a 20-minute ride is a one day of walking. So everything's so relative in life, but it is beautiful. But we will meet each other for sure next time and share stories.
I'm sure I'll be back.
Until then, you know, as we always say, buen camino, ultrella.
Buen camino, ultrella y su sea, correct?
It's Suseya. Perfect. You got it.
Hey, Suseya. Take care.